Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're laser-focused on MGF, Mechanical Growth Factor.
Right.
It's a really fascinating twist on IGF-1, and it's sparking a lot of interest, you know, when it comes to muscle repair and growth.
Mm-hmm.
So the core question we're digging into is this. Can MGF truly deliver on that promise? The localized muscle building, some people claim.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to explore. We've basically sifted through a bunch of preclinical studies, trying to get to the heart of MGF science, understand how it's different from other growth factors, and really evaluate the evidence behind these claims, you know, the targeted muscle effects.
Right.
The goal is really to move past the biz, give a clear picture of what MGF actually is and what the science currently suggests.
Absolutely. And our mission for you listening is to cut through that complexity. We want to explain what it is, fundamentally, what the research hints at for benefits.
And the risks, too.
And the risks, exactly. The potential downsides, the limitations. So by the end of this, you should feel, hopefully, well-informed about this compound without feeling, you know, bogged down.
Yeah, make it accessible.
Okay, let's get started then. Fundamentally, what is MGF?
Okay, so MGF, like we said, mechanical growth factor. And importantly, it's a splice variant of insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1.
A splice variant.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
Think of the IGF-1 gene as like a basic blueprint.
Okay.
A splice variant is like using that same blueprint but creating a slightly different protein, maybe including or excluding certain parts. MGF is just one specific version, one flavor of IGF-1.
Got it.
And what makes it really interesting is that it's primarily produced locally, right inside the muscle tissue itself.
Yeah.
Specifically when there's mechanical stress, like, you know, weightlifting.
So it's the body's immediate response.
Right.
Right where the strain happens.
Precisely. You push your muscles, create those tiny micro tears. MGF gets released as a local signal.
Right there at the site.
Yeah, to kickstart repair and growth processes. It's like dispatching a specialized repair crew directly to the spot that needs fixing.
Okay, that's a good analogy.
And a key thing MGF does is activate muscle satellite cells.
Those are the stem cells for muscle.
Exactly. They're kind of dormant, just sitting there in your muscle. Uh-huh. MGF wakes them up, tells them to multiply, proliferate, and these new cells can then fuse with existing muscle fibers.
Making them bigger.
Making them bigger, stronger, yeah. Or they can even form totally new muscle fibers. And this whole process is, well, it's crucial, both for repair and for hypertrophy muscle growth.
That's fascinating, this local activation of a reserve team. Now, I've seen PEG MGF mentioned. What's the PEG part about?
Yeah, that's a really important distinction. See, the MGF your body makes naturally, it has a very short half-life.
Meaning it breaks down fast.
Very fast, which makes it tricky to use effectively as like an external supplement. So PEG MGF tries to fix that. Pegylation. It basically means attaching polyethylene glycol. Think of it as a flexible, water-soluble polymer to the MGF molecule.
Right.
This acts like a protective shield, basically. It significantly increases the peptide's half-life, lets it stay active in the body for longer.
Ah, so it sticks around more.
Exactly. So PEG MGF is often talked about as maybe a more practical form if you were thinking about using it externally to try and, you know, extend its effects. Although, there are still significant challenges and risks, which we'll definitely get into.
Okay, so the PEG gives it more staying power.
Right.
Now, let's get into the really compelling part. The supposed benefits. You mentioned these preclinical studies. What are they actually showing?
Well, preclinical stuff, and remember, this is mostly animal models, in vitro studies, mm-hmm. you know, lab dishes.
Right, not people yet.
Not people yet, exactly. But that research has pointed to some promising things. That satellite cell activation we talked about, that's a pretty consistent finding.
Waking up those dormant cells.
Yeah, MGF seems really good at that, getting them to multiply. And that's fundamental for repair and building new tissue. And what's really interesting is how localized it seems to be.
And that idea of targeted muscle growth. That's a big part of the hype.
Absolutely. Animal studies have shown that if you inject MGF directly into a specific muscle, it can lead to localized hypertrophy in that muscle. We're talking measurable increases in the size, the cross-sectional area, the fulvators right there.
Just in the injected spot.
Yeah, specifically there. And in some studies, pretty quickly too, that specific localized effect is really what sets it apart from growth factors that circulate everywhere in the body.
So the theory is you could maybe target a lagging muscle group.
That's the hypothesis, yeah, coming out of these animal studies. And beyond just growth, MGF also seems to help speed up muscle regeneration after an injury.
Faster recovery.
The research suggests it might help muscles bounce back quicker from damage, which, you know, could be relevant for athletes or anyone recovering from strains or tears.
Interesting. And what about aging?
That's another angle. It looks like our natural MGF production tends to go down as we get older.
Uh-huh.
And that might play a role in sarcopenia, that age-related muscle loss.
Right.
Some research in older animals actually showed that supplementing with MGF seemed to improve their muscles' regenerative capacity. So that's a potential avenue for, you know, fighting age-related decline.
Wow. Okay, that's quite a list of potential benefits from these early studies.
Yeah.
But like you said, the big caveat is...
The big caveat is that it's almost all animal models in lab work.
Right.
We have very, very limited direct human clinical trials, especially looking at MGF for muscle growth in healthy people. So you absolutely have to be cautious extrapolating these animal findings to humans.
Extremely cautious.
Our bodies are complex. They're different. What works in a rat doesn't always translate. Not by a long shot.
That's such a critical point to hammer home. Okay, so with all this lab potential, what about the flip side, the downsides? What are the risks, the side effects we know about or theorize about?
Well, given the lack of regulatory approval and, you know, the lack of big human studies, the full safety picture for MGF, especially PEG MGF, isn't really established.
Right. It's kind of unknown territory.
Largely. A lot of what we think we know comes from anecdotal reports, people sharing experiences online, plus theoretical concerns based on how growth factors work.
Okay, so what kind of things?
Well, you've got injection site reactions. That's pretty common with injectable peptides generally.
Like redness, swelling.
Yeah, redness, swelling, tenderness, maybe some itching or pain right where you inject. Then there are reports of more general systemic peptide side effects, headaches, maybe feeling nauseous, dizzy sometimes.
Okay.
And anecdotally, some people mention getting flu-like symptoms too.
Those sound relatively manageable, maybe. Are there bigger worries?
Yes, definitely. The most significant theoretical risk comes from the fact it is a growth factor.
Meaning it makes cells grow.
Exactly. And while you want that in muscle, the concern is, could it stimulate growth in other tissues too? Including potentially pre-existing tumors or cancerous cells.
Okay, that's serious.
That's a major concern. It's a big red flag for anyone with a history or even a strong family history of cancer.
Yep.
And then the pegylation, the thing that makes it last longer.
Yeah.
Well, that also means it's circulating systemically throughout the body for longer. Mm-hmm. And we just don't fully understand the long-term effects of that wider sustained exposure.
More unknowns.
More unknowns. And finally, insulin sensitivity. MGF is often marketed as having less impact than, say, full IGF-1 or HGH.
Mm.
But anytime you mess with these growth factor pathways, there's a theoretical risk it could affect how your body handles insulin. We definitely need more research there.
And the fact that you can just, well, buy this stuff online, often labeled research chemical, that adds another layer of risk, doesn't it?
A huge layer. Mm. Because it's largely unregulated, especially in that market, you have massive concerns about purity.
You don't know what you're getting.
Exactly. Is the dose accurate? What else is in there? Contaminants. Unknown substances. You just don't have the quality control or safety assurances you'd get with a regulated, approved medication. It's a gamble.
That definitely highlights the potential dangers.
Mm.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly and bring in some perspectives from people who talk a lot about health, performance, longevity.
Mm.
What do figures like Dr. Huberman, Joe Rogan, or someone like Dr. Conover say, or maybe don't say, about MGF?
Mm.
Let's start with Huberman Lab.
Yeah, it's interesting with Huberman. He dives super deep into tissue repair, muscle growth mechanisms, the biology.
Right, all the time.
All the time. But specific, dedicated discussions about MGF itself, they're pretty rare on his platform.
Why do you think that is?
Well, his whole philosophy really emphasizes optimizing the body's natural processes, you know, the foundational pillars,
mm-hmm.
sleep, nutrition, specific training protocols based on solid science.
Get the basics right first.
Exactly. And while he has explored other peptides like BPC-157 for healing or growth hormone secretagogues, things that stimulate your own GH, he generally expresses a lot of caution about compounds with limited human data, especially those flying under the regulatory radar. He warns against, like, shotgun approaches.
Right.
And he always stresses needing qualified medical supervision for any external stuff, especially things with murky safety profiles. So the fact he doesn't talk much about MGF probably reflects that cautious, evidence-first stance. He prioritizes things with stronger science and regulatory backup.
That makes perfect sense, given his focus.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Joe Rogan? His show covers a much wider, sometimes more unconventional range.
True. JRE definitely explores a broader spectrum, often has guests discussing cutting edge, sometimes less mainstream health and performance stuff.
Yeah.
But even there, when you talk about really specific unregulated peptides like MGF, detailed discussions aren't that common. It's less frequent than, say, talking about general fitness, diet, or maybe even psychedelics or something.
So when it does come up,
when things like this are mentioned, the conversation tends to lean towards, you know, personal responsibility, do your own research, acknowledging it's experimental if it's unregulated.
Right. Buyer beware, almost.
Kind of. There's often an emphasis on maybe talking to a professional, but also this undercurrent of personal autonomy. It's your body, your choice. But that's usually balanced with an awareness of the risks you take in those unregulated spaces. It typically stays more general, though not usually a deep dive into the specific science or lack thereof, for something like MGF.
Okay, so more about the philosophy of experimentation rather than the specifics of the compound.
Yeah.
What about someone like Dr. Craig Conover? He actually uses peptides in his practice.
Right. Dr. Conover represents a different approach entirely. His whole thing is highly personalized, medically supervised protocols, precision medicine.
Tailored to the individual.
Exactly. Tailored to specific needs, goals, always under strict medical oversight. Now, he might use other peptides, maybe GH releasing peptides for systemic benefits, but that's in a controlled setting.
So what about MGF specifically?
Well, given MGF's localized action and, critically, the limited human data on its broad use and safety, he'd likely approach it with extreme caution.
If at all.
If at all. Maybe for a very specific, targeted reason, like treating a particular muscle injury where you really want that localized effect. But even then, it would be under intense medical monitoring.
Uh-huh.
And crucially, he'd be sourcing it from reputable compounding pharmacies, mm-hmm. places with high standards for purity and quality. His whole approach is evidence-based practice within a medical framework, which is worlds away from just ordering research chemicals online.
Right. So across these different voices, even with their varying styles, there's a pretty consistent thread of caution when it comes to MGF, especially regarding unregulated use and the lack of solid human research.
Definitely. That seems to be the common ground.
Okay. Let's try and tie this all together then. What are the key takeaways for listeners?
Absolutely. So first, MGF is biologically interesting, no doubt. The preclinical findings showing potential for localized muscle growth, repair, activating those satellite cells, that's fascinating science.
It offers a specific mechanism.
Right, a specificity that's different from hormones like systemic GH or IGF-1. But, and this is the huge, but we have to stress again, it's not approved for human use by regulatory bodies like the FDA.
Crucial point.
And we just don't have those big, robust human clinical trials confirming it actually works effectively and safely in people long term.
Right. The evidence gap.
Exactly. Then there are the potential side effects. The theoretical risk of unwanted tissue growth, especially concerning cancer, is significant and can't be ignored.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And because it's unregulated, buying it, especially online, comes with huge risks regarding purity, dosage, contamination. Self-administering it is really risky. The potential dangers likely outweigh any unproven benefits for most people right now.
So what should people focus on?
The basics. The scientifically validated methods are still the cornerstone. Consistent progressive resistance training,
yeah.
Optimal nutrition for your goals, getting enough quality sleep for recovery, managing stress effectively. These are the proven levers.
The foundations.
Always the foundations. And if you are thinking about more advanced stuff like peptides, you absolutely need to talk to a qualified medical professional, someone who can give you evidence-based advice, weigh the real risks and benefits for you, and prioritize your health and safety above everything else.
That's a really clear, really vital summary. It highlights that gap between the lab promise and the current real-world safe application.
Precisely. That's the crux of it right now.
Well, that brings us towards the end of this deep dive into MGF. Hopefully this exploration has given you a much clearer picture of this complex topic.
Yeah, our goal was to provide that clarity and context. And as always, we encourage you to keep thinking critically about this kind of information.
Definitely. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. Considering how amazing our body's own natural repair systems are, what other things inside us, other endogenous factors, might we be able to optimize? You know, through lifestyle, through training, to maybe get similar localized muscle benefits, but without the risks and unknowns of using external peptides like MGF.
That's a really pertinent question. It makes you think deeper about leveraging our own biology, doesn't it?
It really does. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Stay tuned for more explorations into the fascinating world of the human body and performance.